It is Mayo Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium awaiting the head coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo, who will be with us at 9:30. He said post-game that he was planning on watching the film the whole way back. Jacoby Brissett is the starter for this football team at the moment, or however he said it again. I mean, he throws that disclaimer in there at the end every time he says it. During the break, Texter was like, what are you angry about? You knew they were going to lose this game. Yes, I suspected they would lose this game to the 49ers. I did not expect that they would look that horrific. Did you? I thought they'd be in that football game.
I don't know how you have a beating heart and are not enraged by what you saw. It was offensive. There's no other way. I mean, there's literally no other way to put it. You watched that game, and it was an insult to your time and to your fandom that is the product that you were forced to watch. The problems on that team were entirely predictable. Were entirely part of the off-season problem.
Meaning the offensive line.
It was
meaning that was apparent to you.
Of course.
In March. Well, or whatever.
You entered the off-season, right? And it was clear, you know, for whatever reason, the coach and the organization parted ways, fine. The team needed a massive upgrade on the offensive line and at the skill positions on offense. They failed entirely in that quest. And I don't care what the excuses are, because the Patriots didn't make them when they're winning. I don't want to hear them when they're losing.
Yeah.
And I just watched that yesterday, and it was the fumble by Ramondre Stevenson, the pick six by Jacoby Brissett, the total inability for anybody on that offense to have any electricity whatsoever. It was like watching a stagnant JV team.
Does it change the way in which you put it all on Bill Belichick last season?
No, it's the exact same as they were last year.
Yeah, but we have a new head coach, so how can it be all on Bill last season?
How could it be? Bill Belichick did the exact same with this team.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, devil's advocate, because when we started this season, you were like, everybody who told me that it wasn't Bill, look at it, look at you now, you just won week one, and look at how they're playing for Gerard Mayo. They didn't really look like they were playing for a coach.
Bill Belichick couldn't elevate this team just like Mayo can.
Okay, so it's the same.
Right.
So you just would take back the week one.
What they did in week one was unlike anything they did last year. It was a totally different team.
But it was a massive DTs.
You watch week one and not see what you saw and say, oh, my God.
But that was the Bengals team. Week one is useless. Believe me, I was excited about it. I was worried about my under 4.5 wins bet. But I'm not worried about it now.
No.
Sadly, I'm not worried about it now.
Yeah.
You keep Jacoby Brissett in. How many games do you think they win this season?
Jesus.
Huh?
Yeah.
Three?
They could win this week. They could.
Yeah, they could. I mean, anything's possible.
No, I know, but I think that this
But one... I wouldn't bet they will.
But right, this week?
Yeah. So, but, I mean, I look at it like this. My expectation, I'm not mad that they lost. My expectations going to the season were they weren't going to be very good. They had a lot of young players that they were going to be depending on and counting on. I didn't know what to expect from them.
Did you think they were going to be the worst team in the NFL? If they are, which I think they probably are. Did you think they were going to be the worst team in the NFL?
The prognosticators did. They had the lowest win total preseason.
Yeah, I thought their defense was going to be better.
They were underdogs in every single game.
Right.
And everybody was like, oh, well, that's ridiculous. They're going to win. They're not going to win football games. They're not.
What you've seen, and just to put a bow on last year, this year, Bill week one, they've been 1-3 after their first four games for four consecutive years. There was one person that was part of the triumvirate that elevated those around them and improved the roster by his very presence.
Yeah.
It was not the owner. And it was not the last head coach. It was the quarterback.
And we're going to hear from him during They Said It in a moment.
I thought their defense would be better. I thought they were going to be...
The defense was not good yesterday.
No.
You thought you could rely on that. And you could. I don't know. The defense wasn't that great. Hindsight 2020, that great against the Jets.
Brock Purdy did not look irrelevant against this defense.
No, Brock Purdy did not look
irrelevant. Yeah, but if this is a team that has a beating heart, you get exposed by that. I thought Brock Purdy did not play great yesterday.
Yeah, he was okay.
I thought he looked not bad.
Guys, running down the field, he hit some wide open,
but I'm talking about himself. He took the ball and ran for first down a few times.
If you switch quarterbacks, what's the outcome of that game? 49ers still win going away.
Yeah,
I agree with you. Yeah, all day.
They don't win going away. Jacoby Brissett, he can't throw more than 10 yards down the field.
Well, they win the football game.
They win the football game, yes.
Yeah. I mean, Brock Purdy didn't do anything where you go, oh, this kid's a top 10 quarterback in the league. He didn't do anything like that. My expectations with this team, I thought their defense would be better. I thought they would overall be better. And then after week one, I was like, oh, okay. You know, they did tease us a little bit. But I was kind of on the expectation train of, I was agreeing with you, Greg, where I didn't think they would be able to go over 4.5 wins. What upsets me the most about this team is that I don't get to see the number 3 overall pick. I know your teams, you got young wide receivers. Jalen Polk makes a great catch down the sideline. You got Pop Douglas. You got Javon Baker. You have
Pop Douglas would have made a great catch if your quarterback saw him wide open.
Right, right.
Yes.
But yeah, all I'm saying is you have young.
A couple of times.
You have young wide receivers, and you don't know what they could be because you have no clue of. You know your quarterback can't get the job done. So I don't know what these wide receivers could be. I don't know if Jalen Polk could be like a Malik Nabers.
All right. Well, there's a lot to talk about this morning, and we will do that with you. If you want to be on, the number to call is 617-779-7937. If you prefer to text, you can text on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. Where do you want to start this morning, Shime?
Well, Greg, at the beginning of the show, we talked about the Ian Rappaport report that Drake May was weeks away from hitting the field for the New England Patriots. Well, Phil Perry actually sings a bit of a different tune on what he's hearing from players on the team. Here is what Phil Perry said about Drake May.
Well, I can tell you, I think his teammates feel like he's a little bit closer to being ready than whoever spoke to Ian Rappaport today. That's an interesting report to me in that I think the Patriots are speaking with their actions more so even than their words by just having Drake May as a backup quarterback. This guy's one snap away from being on the field and taking meaningful snaps. What players have told me is that it's not necessarily the physical stuff that's impressed them most. It's the fact that he's playing on time and in rhythm, both within the structure of the Patriots offense, when he's given 30% of the first team reps in practice, and within the structure of opposing offenses, when he's running the show team. He's handling the huddle with much more confidence. He's putting in extra work with starting receivers after practice. All of these things have, over the last few weeks, allowed his teammates, in my opinion, to have a lot more faith in his ability whenever he ends up getting the call.
Oh, we talked about this a little bit.
Was that the Blue Man Group in the back?
I don't know.
High school band.
We talked a little bit about this last week. Are you doing Jacoby Brissett a disservice by only giving him 70% of the reps when it comes to the week? I mean, are you putting him in a position to fail when he really needs those reps?
Well, no. Yeah, you're not helping him out. But I would say this is just like, who was that, Phil Perry? Said about on time, getting the ball out. If your starter's not doing that, what's the difference if the backup can't do it? Like, if the starter was performing well, or you were going, okay, I see what he's giving us that makes it a little difficult for us to put the young kid in because he's going in the right place. He's on time. He's making the throws. But when you're starting quarterback – isn't giving you, when you're the worst in the league when it comes to passing, you're one of the worst teams in the leagues when it comes to scoring points, you're one of the worst teams in the league in total offense, and your quarterback isn't doing anything and he's supposed to be the veteran?
Well, yeah, I mean, the argument for him was basically that he wasn't turning the ball over. That went away yesterday.
Right.
So
when you have as many touchdown passes for the other team as you do for your team through 4 weeks,
yeah,
probably not a good sign.
Yeah.
I would also add, this is so clear to me, Phil Perry, Gerard Mayo sourced, Tom Curran, Ian Rappaport, Robert Kraft sourced.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
It also doesn't sound like a guy who we should be worried about getting ruined mentally or not being able to handle game pressure mentally, because that whole description of him is that he's very cool under pressure, that he can handle it all. So,
well, Courtney, you said this all the time, and you're 150% spot on.
Ooh.
If a guy can get ruined mentally from playing in the NFL, like, you weren't meant to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, like, spot on. Like, you weren't meant to be there. How do you – if you make a couple bad plays and you're not able to get over that,
right,
you're not meant to be at that level. So it doesn't matter who the hell your coach is.
Mm.
Because if you can't get over bad plays where people go, he's going to get ruined mentally, then you weren't meant to be there. It's how do you handle that adversity?
I think Sam Darnold is a great example of that, right?
Exactly.
Look where he's at right now. Different coaching, different organization. Mm-hmm.
But look at that roster. Justin Jefferson, highest paid receiver or one of them in the NFL.
Yep.
An elite weapon that is able to elevate a quarterback that is learning the new system.
What's next, Shine?
Well, we can actually hear from Jacoby Brissett post-game yesterday on what his message was to the team going forward.
To be hopeful, when we started this climb, we never thought it was going to be just, you know, you're on the escalator, you're just going up automatically. You know, we knew we were going to be bumps in the road. You know, we were going to get knocked down and be tired and be hurt. And, you know, I mean, that doesn't stop the climb. It just puts a little adversity in the climb. As much as we can hold our head, nobody's going to come and save us to pick our head up for us. You know, we got to do it ourselves. And that's the best part about being in this league and being early in the season, because you have not a lot of time, but you got time to pick yourself up, you know, and, you know, lick your wounds and go back to work, because, you know, you got another week next week.
Well, he's going to have a lot of licking to do. I mean, he's
save that.
Every time he gets up, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that he gets up
quick though.
All right, what else, Shine?
Well, we played on They Said It not too long ago, Baker Mayfield's comments about Tom Brady and the stress that he created within the Tampa Bay Buccaneers locker room.
Vibe down there. It was a bad vibe. The guys didn't like it.
The rings didn't have enough diamonds after the Super Bowl.
Well, Curtis, it's funny you bring that up, because Tom Brady clapped back on the broadcast yesterday on Fox. Here was Tom and Kevin Burkhardt talking back and forth about the Baker Mayfield comments.
Our guy here said, quote, "They wanted me to come in, be myself, bring the joy back to football for guys who weren't having as much fun." It's funny, because you've made this environment for me very stressful up here in the booth, so I understand where he's coming from.
Do you feel it?
No.
Feel the stress? No. Well, I was going to say, I thought stressful was not having Super Bowl rings. So there was a mindset of a champion that I took to work every day. This wasn't daycare. If I wanted to have fun, I was going to go to Disneyland with my kids.
Yeah, so, you know, as you were saying, go ahead. I feel like there's more in there to say.
There's a way to approach this game.
Yeah.
And it's that with the right mindset, and try to push each other outside of our comfort zone. And great teammates do that. You come in, I have someone like Gronkowski, I have someone like Evans. There's high expectations for us. We got to make sure we go out there and deliver.
Ooh, shots fired, boop, boop.
There you go.
He's right, though.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, he's right.
And you could do it that way, where you can, you know, be on guys' backs. And Brady was able to do that. And he was able to do that because, obviously, he had one. But, you know, you see his style, and you could do it the other way. Like Mahomes' way, I don't think, you know. But the biggest thing Brady said is, we want to have a championship-level mindset. See, Baker Mayfield comes in and like, oh, let's have some fun, but you don't have a championship level mindset.
Yeah. You don't think Patrick Mahomes does, though?
I mean,
I think he does.
I think their styles are different.
Yeah, the style.
I don't think Mahomes is going over there. We've seen Brady like undress guys, and we heard Billy O talk about the Tyquan Underwood thing. I think Mahomes is a little bit more, I would say,
deferential.
Kid glove friendly, where, you know, Brady got to a point where he was like, and not everybody could play that way, but it's still the championship mindset. Baker Mayfield is like, you can still be easy on guys, but he don't have that championship mindset.
I love also that Baker Mayfield now says he was taken out of context. And that was a story for 2 weeks. He's only now taken out of context because Brady dunked on him.
What else? Anything else, Shine?
Yeah, one more for you here, Greg. I know Curtis was reveling in the Jets loss to Bo Nix and the Broncos yesterday in the rain.
Oh, I thought I was so wrong about the Jets, Curtis, you idiot.
Well, after the game, Aaron Rodgers went back and discussed with the reporter comments that Robert Saleh made about needing to change the cadence because a couple guys were jumping off sides. Rodgers didn't seem very happy about that.
The cadence specifically, Robert said that might be something you guys have to dial back a little bit. Is that something you think could potentially help the situation?
It's one way to do it. The other way is hold them accountable. I mean, we haven't had an issue. We've had one false start. Morgan had one false start, I believe, until this. So it's been a weapon. We use it every day in practice. We don't, you know, we rarely have a false start. And to have, I don't know, five today, it seemed like, four or five. Yeah, it seems like an outlier. I don't know if we need to make mass changes based on, you know, kind of an outlier game.
There you go. But it has been a weapon for him. He's always been like that. Oh. That's why Belichick's going to be there next year.
That's what could be.
Philly. But I don't know what the line is for Vikings-Jets Sunday at 9 a.m. The Jets are going to lose, and it's going to be a disaster. I cannot wait.
That line is currently Vikings by 2.5, Curtis.
Oh, jump on that.
Yeah. It's a good Vikings football team. Really good Vikings.
And it's the revenge game. Darnold against his old team.
Yeah. And you already could tell that Aaron Rodgers and Saleh, the head coach, they are not on the same page. Rodgers cannot
get worse and
he
worse
can't
too.
Stand him.
Yeah.
I won't be surprised if it continues to get worse if Rodgers don't go to Woody Johnson and be like, man, get this dude up out of here.
Middle of the season?
Middle of the season.
I wouldn't put it – I'm not even –
Promote Nate Hackett?
I'm not kidding. Right. I wouldn't put it past Rodgers to tank a game to get his coach fired.
Wow.
Because does he want to lose his last couple of years?
Yeah.
That's
right.
Beans?
That's they said it. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday and over the weekend in sports. Boomer Esiason joining us at 8. Probably means we should get to the news at 8:20.
Perfect.
News at 8:20. And then Gerard Mayo at 9:30 from Gillette Stadium on a Mayo Monday here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.